This is Susan with Troy Bookmakers, author liaison. Sitting with me is Marion Roach Smith. We're going to talk a little bit about her book, Realia, and about her writing classes. Hi, Marion. Thanks for agreeing to talk to me.
Delighted to be here.
Thanks. What I wanted to ask you about, first of all, as I look at your book, Realia jumps out at me. What's that word? Where'd it come from?
Well, I learned it. I was sent out to Ann Arbor, Michigan by Martha Stewart Living Magazine to do a story on a woman who had donated somewhere in the neighborhood of 20,000 items to the library there. And they were all items having to do with America's culinary history. She is the largest American collector of cookbooks, and she donated her collection and then became the curator of that collection at the Clements Library. And I went out there to interview her, and she was showing me all of these menus and napkins and ephemera from America's great restaurants. And she said, it's realia. And I said, well, what does that word mean? And she said, the small stuff. The little things of life. And I've always taught by that notion that it's easy. Anyone can go sit at a funeral. Yeah. But dressing for the funeral? Show me the essay where someone dresses for a funeral, how you power up to go into one of life's big moments. Don't sit in the front row and write down the eulogy and show it to me as a piece of memoir. Show me you either trying to zip up your dress or put on your pearls, or even better, show me taking them off later as you're exhausted from the experience. It's the small stuff in life that makes memoir. So that's where the word came from. I love the word.
It is. It's very original. You look at it and you want to know what's going on in here. So you teach memoir at the Art Center.
I do.
And how long have you been doing that?
13 years. I've had about 700 students to date, and it shows, I think it's going to go on like that, that people keep signing up, thank goodness.
How's your classroom size generally runs 10 to 15?
Well, I started out with 8 people, and now we have about 22 in every class. And what's odd and wonderful is that it works even better because the learning curve for the new people is so steep and so fast and so wonderful because they hear so many stories every night. And different writers paint themselves into different holes. Mm-hmm. And we watch how people get out of that trouble each week.
Do you find that your students are ready for what memoir really is going to ask of them?
Such a great question. And nobody's really ready for it. Because you think that one of these days you're going to get around to writing down that story, whether that be the story of your sick child or the story of the birth of your wonderful healthy child or the story of your relationship with your grandmother. And then what in the world could prepare you for actually sitting alone in a room and asking your subconscious to just pull up the details on only that and not on the entire history of your life. So people are unexpectedly shocked by how difficult it is because they've been putting it off till one of those days when they get to it. And then you get into the class, and it's hard work, and no one is prepared for it.
Right, because it starts large, and it's easy to hide. And then as it, I imagine it's sort of coming closer and closer and in and in and in, and now you're left with the kernel.
Exactly. And that's exactly.
Do you get a lot of people who turn away from it?
I've only
when
lost a couple who have walked out and never come back. Mm-hmm. What happens, I think, is that that process of discovery is unimaginably serene, ultimately. I mean, the understanding that you can bring to anything, whether it be why you like your spouse, or how you became a naturalist, or what it is about the kitchen that makes you so happy.
Yeah.
It just goes unexamined until you actually sit down to write about it and try to choose non-cliched ways of saying it. It's one thing to say, I love cooking. It's another thing to answer the question, why?
Because in thinking about it that way, it almost seems like the value of what might be back there gets brought forward.
Absolutely.
And maybe in ways, you know, if you love cooking, but maybe you'd never even thought about, like, cooking as a career, all of a sudden when you write about it, you take yourself seriously. And then you have something to show for it. And
that's such a good perception.
Like,
I think that's
getting
true.
The backbone around, you know, what's important to you.
Learning the language. I mean, for anybody who's ever been in therapy, and I always maintain that writing isn't, that this class isn't therapeutic, but for anybody who's ever been in therapy, there is this parallel. And that is that therapy teaches you the language of getting your hands on your own issues. And memoir gives you the language for putting your hands on your own passions, your desires, your insecurities. You start to choose better language than saying, I like it, or neat. You start to go in more deeply and find out that that resonation, that what resonates about the kitchen is something that was passed along in your family. Maybe you witnessed it in your grandmother, and she gave that gift to your mother, and she gave it to you. And it's just not something you've really thought about much.
Right.
But talk about heightening and adding to life's experiences. There it is.
Right, and where to put your value. Truth.
Truth.
Everybody has to deal with it.
Ah!
Sooner or later, right?
Yeah.
Do people squirm in class when they start getting down there?
Oh,
does
God,
the fiction
yes.
writer in them come out?
Oh, absolutely. And the truth is such a moose topic, because going after the whole truth and nothing but the truth is totally a fool's errand. There is no such thing. I mean, here's your version. And then there's your sister's version.
And you're not going to convince your sister.
No. And she says, you started it. You know what I mean?
It was that look. And you thought, what look?
Right. So it's your truth, which is what's so wonderfully interesting about mm-hmm. it. And I really don't care about your sister's version at this moment. I really do care about yours. And going after the whole truth is troublesome. And there, I'm not really sure that the truth has ever really set anyone free. It's what you do with it.
Right.
You know, hearing the truth is one thing, but acting on it is another, and that's a fascinating realization.
So what's next? Are you working on another project right now?
Well, I'm thinking about several other projects. This book was a long time in coming, and I've been thinking about it for years, literally, since I've been teaching the class for 13 years. So I'm making some, even after I published it with Troy Bookmakers, who, by the way, did a fabulous job, and it's gorgeous, and I love it.
Thank you.
I now have things, having thought about it, that I want to add, so I'm adding them to the book to go into the new edition, which I said will be out in 2011. And I go through a lot of book ideas every year with my agent, and we always agree that just give me a minute to think about it, mm-hmm. and then we'll see what we like and see if it's going to work.
Let me ask you, you mentioned you have an agent. I know we there's a lot of people that we've worked with that feel like they want to take their book to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
They may have sold 100 or 200 copies.
Great.
They're enthusiastic. They're confident. They're getting good feedback.
Mm-hmm.
But they're feeling a little lost. Any suggestions?
Yeah. First of all, they're doing the right thing. We did this. My sister and I did this very deliberately. But here's the thing. You've got to treat this self-published book like a business. The thing that I see that people aren't doing is they're publishing it. They've got their box. And then they expect something to happen. You make a beautiful book. It's the writer's responsibility to get it into the hands of the public, willy-nilly. Find a book that resonates right to that agent. Mm-hmm. Agents are almost always thanked in their acknowledgments pages. And really do your research, because you've got it, as I said, you don't want to play in a team that isn't for you.
Right.
And go pro means you really have to become professional and say, who would this book resonate with? When you also, the other thing is to go pro, you have got to have a website. And you've got to build your audience before your book is published. You can't just have a book and then say, oh, now I think I'll start the conversation.
Right, here I am, everyone.
No. This book was preceded by 18 months of a website. Then came the book. And at the minute I had the book out, I also had gotten myself a position as a guest blogger on a very large website called BeliefNet, which has 12 million subscribers.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So I was guest blogging on how to write memoir there. So this was a business.
So you're building your reputation prior. And then
yeah.
this comes along as a gift to your fans that you've cultivated
exactly.
already.
Exactly. You have a product. You have fans. You have a fan base. You have a product. Then you have to have a new market, which is with a guest blogging on a website.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go looking for the agent. Because the agent's first question is, what's your platform? And platform means, who are your followers?
Mm-hmm.
And in this day and age, there is never an excuse not to have followers. But have your audience lined up before you do.
Be ready.
Yeah.
That's excellent advice. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate everything you
thank
told
you
me.
So
it's really
much
nice
for
talking
asking.
To you. And you can find Marion's book, Realia, Writing What You Know, at the Troy Bookmakers. You can also purchase it from the local bookstore, Stuyvesant Plaza Bookhouse, and Market Block. Good luck as this book takes off into the larger world.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.